It's a great privilege for me. My name's Breck Wilson, because I don't know everyone in the house tonight. But I've been pastoring one way or another for about 40 years here. And about 9 years ago, or 10, or I don't know exactly, John Frederick started coming here. And somebody in our congregation said, shortly after John was here, that they thought he'd be the next pastor. And I thought, I don't think so, but but that's a nice thought. but no, I'm honored to be here tonight hosting this Oak Street Church, and that so many people showed up from this community. So I welcome all of you tonight, and I thank you for coming, for making time, and I know everyone's lives are busy. And I'm not going to speak much tonight. I've been speaking a lot about this to our own church for the last month here on Sundays, but tonight there are some others that are going to speak of John and honoring him, and I'm excited to hear them myself. We'll end this meeting, this part of our meeting, this formal part, with what we call the laying on of hands, which is really an ancient religious tradition that many religions use to express love, healing, acknowledgement, ordination, in a sense, singling someone out. Moses, there's an account where Moses lays hands on Joshua, even far back in the Old Testament, to acknowledge the next leader. So we'll end the sharing time with praying for John and laying hands on him. Our leadership team here at Oak Street Church will do that. And we'll invite, as we pray for him, all of you to pray with us. So that's, we're going to work toward that. But before we get there, there's just a lot of fun in celebrating John Frederick. I wrote specifically down some things so I wouldn't just wander here. We have set a number of people in our program tonight that are going to speak. And I know many of you could speak, but we don't really want that to happen. We don't want to keep everyone here forever. And what we'd like you to do, though, is to write down maybe what you want to say to John so that he'll have that and can keep that. And he's even asked that on Facebook. I think he put that out to a certain amount of people that if they had something to share, he'd love to get that from them. So we just ask that you do that, and those that are speaking tonight, we'll get to hear from them. Later on, we'll be having food and refreshments, and Voodoo Donuts wanted to come tonight and be here, but we told them we had a better venue. We had Dog Ear Donuts, so yeah, so we're thrilled about that, and many other good dishes are going to be here, and we'll just, when the meeting ends, we'll just celebrate with food and friendship. We'll be charging John tonight and officially recognizing him in, as he walks in this calling and office of a pastor. We, as a local faith community, could have just done this at our Sunday morning service, like this morning. But we believe that we are part of a much larger spiritual community than Oak Street Church. We're just small potatoes. We're part of something much bigger in this community that we call Silverton and beyond. It's like infinity and beyond. It's the same. it's a big thing. And even the gathering here is just a small part of what it could be. One of the many things that I love about John is that he loves this larger community. He loves this larger community. He sees himself rooted and called here to serve. And I've worked with John closely for several years. When John first started working in the office, a few people, not me, started calling him the church lady. He endured that fine, patiently, and without really having a problem with it. I thought he might, you know. John, as you know, we've seen John just go through all kinds of growth here, I would say. And I'm thrilled to see him answer this call that's on his life, that's been on his life since he was a young man. And I take great pride and honor in calling John pastor. Amen.
Are you applauding Breck or are you applauding John? Let's all say, I get to come up and celebrate John. So let's all say, yay, John! I just felt that energy going on here. So now you got it out. All right. So I'm Kathy Wilson, Breck's wife. Been hanging out with him doing this pastoring thing for a long time. And when we talked about this ordination service, one of the things I wanted to do was I really wanted to celebrate John's passions and gifts and the diversity of things that he brings. And I wanted to emphasize that this church and this community is getting more than somebody fulfilling a job description or taking over a role from Breck, you know, in his retirement. So I want to celebrate that because John is just, I just love him, and he's just got so many things going on. Yes, John, from childhood, actually, you guys, his parents are here, they probably know this. He felt like he was going to be a pastor. You know, as we've got to know John, that was kind of cool to hear early on in our relationship with John. But I think that John, and the young man that he was, thought he'd be a pastor somewhere out in this great wide world, and he'd have all kinds of adventures, and little old Silverton wasn't fitting the bill. But somehow, through all kinds of growth and relationship and living life together, he found that God had graced him with this community called Silverton and this church body called Oak Street to be here and to be planted here. So we're celebrating that. And he put his proverbial hand to the plow and has been demonstrating his gifts and his commitment to the community and to Oak Street for some time now. And we're kind of celebrating that. We're recognizing what's already been happening because he's already been walking in a lot of things. So as we formalize this process tonight, I just really wanted to emphasize his gifts and his passion, the things that he brings to us that are kind of like icing on the cake. They're bigger than just fulfilling that role. So I think Steve's going to put up some pictures as I talk. But one of the first things that John said he was willing to do was to help out administratively. And, you know, what we've seen and what when I think about it, his administrative gifts, all of us that know and love John and have hung at his house know that he's not gifted in organizing things. See, a lot of you know John. And so, but he is passionate about organizing people and events that enrich the community. And we see that in so many different ways. Even his degree that he got at Oregon State, which he finished up recently, yay, had a focus on community organizing because he was passionate about that. He was passionate about not only affecting the church, but really affecting the community at large for the greater good. And and I think that the things that John is excited about in his organizing or his administrative role is things that elevate and challenge us and give us all an opportunity to serve and to, you know, bring change in the ways he invites us to bring change through those events that he organized. It's not just his thing. Another role that we see John in is in preaching and teaching. And some of you that maybe are not, you know, Oak Streeters, don't get to see him as much in those roles. But it's kind of a primary requirement of a pastor. But John has long had a passion to communicate about the scriptures, about life's challenges, and he does it in ways that inspire us and help us to ask questions. And he especially does it without hypocrisy and a real commitment to authenticity and authentic application of what he talks about. And that's something that's runs deep in him, an integrity to line up his talk with his walk. And so I think that's that's just a gift I want to celebrate and recognize. One of the gifts and the passions that I see that I most want to celebrate is John's influence and the influence of art in his life. And how he brings that to our corporate life. And I love that he thinks outside the box when it comes to expressing himself in the arts and calling other people to express themselves and to really make room for that. One of the things he first started doing was the Easter art show, and he didn't have a precedent. He didn't have, you know, it just came from somewhere in that brain or that heart. And so I just loved that he was really being creative with it and willing to step outside the box and not worry about doing it within traditional boundaries. John is both a visual artist. There's a little example of it. There's lots of things. But he is also a musical artist. And creativity is food for him. And he expresses it which this is something that just kind of blows me away. And I've told him in little ways, but probably not that much. But he blows me away with how beautifully vulnerable and honest he is in his music. And I think the reason that I'm in awe of it, here I am at 63 years old, and I'm still too insecure to be that vulnerable in an expression like that with music and art. I think it's just amazing. And his gifts in the arts are inclusive and communal, and he moves in them like Jesus does, who is so inclusive and always gathering people in. He doesn't express himself in his music or in his art for position or admiration, but he does it to inspire and celebrate God-given beauty. And the last little, you can kind of see that one. The last little thing, you know, he is going to be a pastor, or he is a pastor, excuse me. the thing I want to celebrate about his version, it's going to be different, and it's so unique, and it gets to be who John is as a pastor. And I know he's coming to that role and coming to the commitment of being here and being a part of Oak Street and Silverton. It was birthed as a boy, but he had to wrestle with it till he got here. And he has a very healthy gift of wanting to be accountable, and he has a sincere commitment to integrity. And I get to see that from the inside. Like, when I say that, that's not just words. I get to see that from the inside. And John seeks out mentors in his life who speak into his life. And he doesn't always seek out people who he might think would agree with him, but he really seeks out people who will take their gifts and shape him and mold him. And he's a man of character. And I just want to say that Breck and I have been able to be some of those mentors, and we look so forward into him more and more speaking into our lives and being in that position of having him as a pastor. So I just celebrate those things. Thank you.
I first visited Oak Street in 2007 with a friend who went here that I was working with, And then I actually started coming in September 2008. I was at Breck's house for someone's birthday party, and Breck just struck me as like this really just like different pastor. Like, just like, I kind of said that I wasn't really going to church too much at the time. And he was like, oh, well, you're probably just like getting tons of church, like working at Canyon View and taking these classes anyway. You know, and like no pastor I'd ever met would have said that. Just like, you know, giving me like a pass. And so then eventually when I was thinking about where do I actually want to go to church, Oak Street came up. And I still like, it came up in like kind of an arrogant way. Like I thought, well, maybe Oak Street doesn't read their Bible as much as like churches I've been to before. And so like when I was 18, I was just like, that needs to change. And I'm going to fix that. So then I just started coming kind of with that attitude, and right away felt like God said I was here to learn how to love people, because I felt like everyone here would just like, just do whatever. Like if you needed something, they'd like go home and get it for you. You know, there was just this sense of like, whatever you need, like we'll take care of you.
Well, when I first met John, I really liked that he thought outside the box a lot. Like I knew he grew up in a Christian family and he went to homeschool and he was at a Christian camp. But when we would get together for coffee, he would always be reading like secular books, different kinds of ideas and philosophies that I appreciated, because I just felt like he was pretty open-minded for being a young guy.
I think because I was homeschooled, when I became an adult and moved out of my parents' house, there was I felt like in a lot of ways I was prepared just to be myself. You know, like my mom always encouraged me to like just like be a leader and think for myself and question things and really have convictions of my own. And like that's where like emphasizing love over knowledge, like that's where that becomes really valuable. Like, do I love these people? Oh, we disagree. Okay, well, that's not the end of the conversation then. You know, like I can believe totally different things from people and still call them like good friends, you know, and still actually really benefit from that friendship, because they won't just, maybe I can't predict what they're going to say about something, but they'll give me a new perspective, like that I really need.
God forbid that people would expect John to be like me. You know, that's going to be, if anyone does, that's not right, because nobody is. And I just see John has qualities that are unique to him, and those things are going to flourish. Mm-hmm. And he will be a different kind of leader.
A lot of things I've learned at Oak Street have to do with like the kingdom of God is coming, right? But it's also, it has to be here and now, or it, like, really doesn't have any bearing. I can't be excited about heaven as an idea and not be working to realize heaven here and now. I think, because otherwise it's just, there's a disconnect between what I want to be about and what I am about if those things don't like meet right here. I think just my view of like, my view of what church is and my, I guess my values, you know, less about being right and more about being kind and loving, kind of is, I guess, where I would say that changes occurred in me. And so when I say that when I came to Oak Street, I felt like I was here to learn how to love people, like I think I'm still learning that. I think that's like an ongoing thing. I chose Oak Street in a sense from this kind of position of like superiority. And then when I got here, I realized that I could just belong and be myself and be imperfect. I felt like it was more, come here and be a mess with all of us who are messy. And you're like, you're welcome to be here. And that's good, you know.
I'm excited about the transition. And I really think everyone's journey is different. And John, I think, and others that are maybe even coming now, even because of John, in a sense, I just feel like things are going to be shaping in a new and fresh way for the future. And that's great. You know, nothing should stay the same. So I'm excited to, you know, to be part of that. And I can easily say, John, you know, you're my pastor. So. So we have a series of people that are going to come and speak now. Hopefully they know the order they're in. This is Steve Paisinger.
Hi there. I'm Steve. I'm a leader in this church. Can I borrow your glasses? Are these ones that I bought?
No.
Wow, that video was awesome. Mike Turner did that. I'm glad you're all here. And how you feeling?
Good.
I did some inquiry of Oak Street Church folks for the last couple weeks. Not a lot, a few people. Just to ask them what they thought about John being the pastor. And I asked for unfiltered feedback. And so I wrote some thoughts about what I heard. The first thought I wrote was, I like John. Then I thought, I wonder if John likes me. Do you like me, John? But probably not all the time. I'm not the easiest person to like. John, I appreciate the investment that you made in earning your bachelor's degree in community networking. Is that right?
Development.
Community development. From Oregon State University. Yep. He spent hundreds of hours and dollars obtaining this degree. It says to me, community and networking are priorities to him, and he may have a good idea and knowledge of how to bring different-minded people together for good, even if he isn't inclined to like them. Just being keeping it real. The second thing I wrote was, what's a pastor look like? And then I thought, I do this a lot. And then I thought, what does ice cream taste like? So lots of questions follow with that thought, like what flavor? No matter how much you narrow the taste of ice cream down, you still have your own perception and experience. John, do you like ice cream?
Yeah.
Yep. Most people like ice cream. And they have a favorite flavor, favorite brand, serving temperature, toppings, etc. Pastors are not ice cream. But I believe sometimes we can have a desire of what our favorite pastor looks like, acts like, talks like, thinks like, and believes. John is emerging from the creamery today into a role which does not allow him to be multiple flavors for our benefit, nor should it. Ice cream is good and so are pastors. I like ice cream, but I like John a lot better. The third thing I wrote is relationship. Relationships are complicated. They require work, patience, forgiveness, initiation, perspective, discernment, listening, time, and so on. I think the most important component of a good relationship is choosing to have one. Relationships always require a minimum of two. John is in a position of initiating relationship with all of us, no matter what the age gap, difference in beliefs, scripture interpretation, culture, gender identity, past and present mistakes, language, musical taste, and on and on. It's part of the core responsibilities of pastoring. I ask, what's our core responsibility as a community and a congregation? I believe strongly it's our job to choose to be in a relationship with John. Relationships are our opportunities to love, build up, inspire, comfort, and so much more. But I would be amiss if I left out the opportunity relationships provide for conflict and resolution. Which leads us back to a choice: to forgive and reconcile or not. I've observed John choosing relationship. And in the midst of difficult conflict, choosing to seek resolution, forgiveness, and reconciliation. I hope we choose to be in a relationship with John. I like John.
Thanks, Steve. Mary Learman's going to speak to us now.
Hi. I'm Mary Learman. My husband, Steve, and I have been part of the leader team here for quite a while. And so we've had a lot of privilege and time to be with John. Something else about John, he lived in our little apartment above our garage for a couple of years. So we got a chance to get to know him early on. And it's been a real privilege. And I join with everybody else. Some of this may be a little redundant, but anyway, it's good to see your family, John, here. It looks like some that I have met and some that I haven't, but your mom and dad, you guys have done an amazing job, Chris and Ann. And yeah, so. Well, when I was thinking about John, I thought the years that I've known John were probably some of the hardest years of my life, between the ages of about, 18 and, are you 26, 27? And because it's such a time that you're just trying to figure out, what does my life supposed to look like? How do I make it my own? And, beyond just, the life I've had with my parents and my family. And we've had this privilege and this opportunity to watch John go through this time. And we've seen John go through some real soul-searching. We've seen him go through some real gut-wrenching times. But in the midst of it, his heart has always remained to hear God and to find out, what do you have for me, God? What do you have for me? And because of the time frame, we have got to see some amazing, beautiful things birthed in John as a result of that soul searching and that seeking. And then being willing to take that leap of faith and obey God in the places where he feels like he's leading him. And so it's just been a real great privilege. When I was thinking about John and some of his qualities, one of the things that I love about him is he's really an earnest seeker. And that's going to go on. That's not a one-time thing. It's kind of an ongoing thing that when you're on this road with Jesus, there's so much more. There's always, always, always so much more. So I appreciate that quality in you, John, that you are an earnest seeker and you really do want to hear, and not just for the sake of hearing, but you want to, again, we've heard it said today, to put that in motion and be faithful in taking those steps of those leaps of faith, those steps forward. And God is so faithful to be there for you. And it's kind of even like this pastor thing. It's probably pretty scary at sometimes thinking, oh my gosh, when you think ahead. But, you know, he's willing to push into it and to do that. And so when I was thinking about him, I was thinking he's an earnest seeker. He's a man of his word. He's very creative and caring. He's trustworthy. He's a careful listener. He's kind. He's a deep thinker. And he's humble. And he, you know, there's another thing, and I think in the message it says that strength is for service, not status. And I think John does serve us in such a beautiful and a humble way. And another thing that I was thinking of, it's the small things, being faithful in the small things. It's the small things that seem insignificant. But they're, you know what? They're in the scheme of things, they really are important, because it's being faithful in the small things that teach us and build in us just these character qualities that are really wonderful. And so I'm grateful that I've seen that in you, that you're faithful in the small things. And so thank you, because it's really important in the big picture. So one little other thing that I was thinking of, this is a celebration of the decision you've made to be the pastor. And I like words to songs, and this just came to me. It's just a little portion of some words from a song that Michael Card sings. I think he wrote it. That there is a joy in the journey. There is a wonder and wildness to life and freedom for those who obey. And as hard as it can be at times, and as crazy as it can be at times, there's something so beautiful and so joyful and so wonderful about hearing God and obeying him and following him. And so I'm excited about this move forward in this journey that you're embarking on with us. And I am also proud and glad to call you my pastor. And I really do want to tell you too, and this is in the Bible, those who put their trust in him will not be disappointed. And that's all that I have. So.
Thanks, Mary. John Pattison, I think, is next. Where's John? Oh, there he is.
My name is John Pattison, and my family and I do not attend this church. We are members of Silverton Friends Church, which is an evangelical Quaker meeting here in town, and I'm here with my wife, Kate, and one of my two daughters, Molly. In the Quaker tradition, we believe that every person, regardless of gender, age, religion, or even merit, has within them the light of Christ, the inner light of Christ. The founder of Quakerism, George Fox, wrote from a prison cell in 1656, urging his friends to be patterns, to be examples in all countries, places, islands, nations, wherever you come, that your carriage and life may preach among all sorts of people. In this way, George Fox said, you will come to walk cheerfully over the world, answering that of God in everyone. answering that of God in every one. Reflecting on this letter, a 20th century Quaker writer said that one of the primary tasks of a minister could thus be described as answering. George Fox believed that it was possible to nurture and to bring to fulfillment the vague yearnings toward the divine which are in all people, but which are often underdeveloped. To answer that of God in everyone is thus to help make actual what is otherwise only potential. And I think that what Fox said of people specifically can be applied more broadly to our places. There's no place on earth that has not been darkened by sin, but there's also no place that is so far gone that it does not contain within it some ember of the divine that might be gently, patiently, and prayerfully coaxed into light and heat. My family and I see in John a call and a commitment to answer that of God in every person and that of God in this particular place of Silverton, Oregon. Though we're not members of Oak Street Church, there is a very real extent to which we think of John as our pastor too. John pastors the community. He's a known character in our neighborhoods. He's a familiar presence in our coffee shops, in our restaurants, on foot and on bike, at Monday night meal, in local stores and at the farmer's market, and in many of our homes. Quakers don't ordain. What we do instead is record a minister. Quakers believe that only God does the ordaining. Our response is to record as a fact something that can already be observed in a person's life. What my family and I have observed in John's life in the 7 or so years that we have known him is that he is a person of deep and vital faith, with great humor and a profound love for God, this church, and all of his neighbors. We've seen John grow into his call to ministry. We admire his teachable spirit, his servant's heart, and his commitment to cultivate beauty in his own art and in the art of others. So within the purview of our little Quaker household of four, we have recorded John as a minister of the gospel. I wrote up a minute in proper Quaker fashion, and I presented it to the other three members of my family. My wife and our 2 daughters, ages 10 and 3, the 3-year-olds at home with a babysitter, but all of whom know John and love John too. And Quakers make decisions by consensus, and so we all had to approve, or we had to decide if we needed to wait on the Spirit, and that could take 11 or 12 years in Quaker tradition. So I'll read to you the minute that I wrote, and then tell you the result of it, as we sought the leading of God's Spirit together. The first minute was, do we approve as a family that we have witnessed Christ at work in John, that we have seen the fruit of the Spirit in his life, and that we observe God calling John to public ministry in Silverton? Approved. Do we approve as a family that we will support John with prayer, friendship, comfort, words of encouragement, good meals, long talks into the night walks, the occasional hard conversation, lots of laughter, and however else the Spirit might call us to fortify John and John's ministry in our community? Approved.
Thanks, John. Farmer Laura, where is she? There she is. I can't pronounce her whole name, so I just call her Farmer Laura.
Hello. Yeah, so Breck and John know me as Farmer Laura. You guys can call me Farmer Laura. That's fine. I will, after all of this, probably have to change John's name in my phone from He Doesn't Know This, Church Boy John, to Pastor John. But I can do that, no big deal. I mean, I don't know how it got in there like that anyway. It was 2012 when that happened. But yeah, they asked me to speak about John. I'm surprised and honored that I get to be up here, given my perspective on John coming to this and be part of the celebration. How do I know John? I mean, I know John as Church Boy John, but we don't need to talk about that. Basically, I was working in Silverton on a farm, and the farmer's right here. And we would donate our produce to Oak Street, and Breck and John would come by and pick up all of our additional produce. And I got to talking to John. We would go on bike rides, and others always tie lunches, all of that. But I don't really know if John or Breck really knew the impact they had on me after getting to know them and becoming friends with them. I was raised Buddhist, and I was always kind of hesitant around very religious people as a religious minority. You know, you don't want to talk about religion or politics. Don't go there. But basically, with John, I never felt that way. Pretty much anything we did, we had open conversation about life, beliefs, pursuit of happiness, and everything. And I always felt acceptance, compassion, and understanding. John even interviewed me for a class he had, where he had to interview somebody who had a different belief system than he did. And we ended up having a really incredible dialogue about it and found unity and connection and similarity at the root of a lot of our beliefs. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, so to me, religion, the purpose of religion is to facilitate love and compassion and really demonstrate patience and tolerance, humility and forgiveness in your life. And I think that John embodies all of those things and everything that he does and every interaction that I've ever had with him. John, I'm so happy that you're pursuing your calling. I remember talking to you about how you love this community and how much of an impact Silverton has had on you and how you want to be a part of this community and you want to stay here and support it, basically. And so I want to read you a quote about community from a Buddhist leader, Nichiren. The quote is, "When a tree has been transplanted, though fierce winds may blow, it will not topple if it has a firm stake to hold it up. But even a tree that has grown up in place may fall over if its roots are weak. Even a feeble person will not stumble if those supporting him are strong. But a person of considerable strength, when alone, may fall down on an uneven path." And so I think John, if he keeps on being a part of this community as he is and continues with his open mind and open heart, that you're going to continue to inspire people, and this community is lucky to have you. And I'm happy to call you my pastor, too.
Thank you, Laura. Emily Neves.
Hi. So I go to Oak Street and have for a couple years now. And I was asked to talk about John's gift of friendship. So I met John when I was 17. When I first started hanging out with him, Waylon, who I think is here, him and I would congregate in my parents' kitchen and make cinnamon rolls, then usually go for a walk or hula hoop or maybe watch a weird movie that Waylon recommended. Not too much has changed since then in terms of hanging out, but there's been a richness added to it that I'm constantly thankful for. Last night, for example, John came over and embroidered while I read some poems and Elijah played guitar. We sat not 10 feet from each other and did our own thing completely. John got up at one point and opened our fridge, quote, just to see what was there. Later, we teased him about tonight and that he needed to emotionally prepare for hashtag JohnFest 2018. We drank tea and talked. It was easy and life-giving. And I would say that's the essence of being John's friend. It's easy and very life-giving. In preparing to talk about John's gift of friendship, I wondered what to say about it. Not because there's any shortage of things to say, but because John's been my friend for so long now, I wanted to stop and really think about what's kept us friends through all the changes that have happened in the last 8 years of knowing him. I made a list of qualities I look for in friends, and it includes honesty, communication, presence, listening, someone who can help me grow, and someone who can have fun and not take themselves overly seriously. These are just some of the more important ones on my list, but in reflecting on John, he's demonstrated and continues to demonstrate all of these things in our friendship. I can always count on him to be straightforward about whether or not he actually wants to hang out, or if he actually likes the way something I make tastes, or if he actually enjoys a poem I write. He is seldom rude, but always honest. He is an excellent communicator, demonstrating active listening in conversations, responding thoughtfully to questions, and giving honest feedback. He's been present for graduations, weddings, babies, funerals, coffee shop meetings, poetry readings, and many other events he may not have wanted to go to. He's also been emotionally present for me as I've missed my mom, struggled with what it looks like to be a woman in our society today, stressed and worried about work, not known what to do in countless situations, etc. John's been there to encourage me, guide me, correct me. John is hilarious. He has fun with his friends, whether it's wearing a fur coat to Max to get tots, playing Margaritaville at a show, writing raps, going for night walks in the snow, or playing games that get too competitive. Wendell Berry in a poem writes, "Laughter is immeasurable. Be joyful, though you have considered all the facts." John does this beautifully in life as he studies and follows the news, our political climate, and invests in our community's growth. John has also hurt my feelings and said, "I'm sorry, thank you for telling me." And when I've hurt his, he has said, "I forgive you." What a wonderful thing to be able to share with a friend. John has not only been a good friend to me, but helped me know how to be a good friend to others and to myself. I'm so thankful for the friendship we have, and proud of the friend he is to so many. In closing, John has literally unclogged my toilet, walked nothing short of 500 miles with me, helped me move, put together my dining room table. He's been a counselor, an advisor, a mentor, a leader, a forgiver, an encourager, a listener, a teacher, a learner, and many other roles in my life. But ultimately, he is my friend. I'm so proud of John for taking this step, knowing full well the challenges that come with it. I admire him for listening to his calling and stepping into this responsibility humbly but confidently. And I am excited that this person who I call a dear friend is going to lead a body of people I consider dear friends. Because John is not only a good friend to me, but to everyone here, to our church, and to our community. You are equipped, John. Because you have made so many people around you your friends, you won't be alone in this ever. And as one of your friends, I want to say just that we root for you, we support you, we encourage you, and we're on your team.
I think Samuel is going to do some special music now.
I'm Samuel. This is Elijah. We're good friends of John. Sure, I was going to make it through this song, but then Emily, jeez, beautiful. I'm not going to say anything because then I'll just embarrass myself crying and stuff, and that's way too many of you for that. We have the privilege of playing this song in honor of this moment. So.
Feel free to sing along.
In the shadow of your wings, in the shadow of your wings, you gather us together like a kind, strong mother. In the shadow of your wings.
Sing that again.
In the shadow of your wings, in the shadow of your wings, you gather us together like a kind, strong mother. In the shadow of your wings. Like the sun brings harvest from the dead of winter. Like the sun brings harvest from the dead of winter. When our pain's most bitter is when your love is sweetest. Like the sun brings harvest from the dead of winter. In the eye of a tempest, in your winds of justice. In the eye of a tempest, in your winds of justice. Where our evil seeks us is where your love is fiercest. In the eye of a tempest, in your winds of justice. Gather us together like a kind, strong mother in the shadow of your wings.
Thank you, Samuel and Elijah. Christine.
Hi. John, I just want to bless you. So that's what I'm going to do. And I just also want to say that John's my friend, and I'm so grateful for that. We're John and Breck and I are like a subcommittee of our leadership group, and I've really appreciated you. And recently in this past year, John's been pastoring me, and that was a choice, and it actually started happening on the porch of this church, and excuse me, I just realized that, wow, you've done a lot of growing and transforming, and it just was like an aha moment, and I'm so appreciative. So I want to bless you in your calling as a pastor. And John, God, your Father, made you unique. And before the world was created, your Father planned for you. And he chose the day and time you were born, and he chose your parents. And he chose your spiritual heritage. And he gave you a vision for this role and what he wants for you. And you are fearfully and wonderfully designed and crafted. And John, I bless you with fulfilling the call of God on your life and living out the fullness of his good and perfect will for you. And I bless you in the knowledge that God your Father is very pleased with what's happening today. And I also want to bless you in this idea of a life-giving community. And so I bless you with always having a life-giving community to fit into. And I bless you with fitting together with other people because you cannot do what God is asking you to do alone. And I bless you with always finding like-hearted, like-visioned, and like-spirited people in your life. And then the last area is this idea of transitioning. And so, John, during this time of transition, I bless you. And I bless you with favor with our Silverton neighbors and with other religious leaders and with our community leaders. And I bless you with a reservoir of peace as you are in transition. And I bless you during this time when you may be criticized and renounced and resented and who knows. And so I bless you with friends who will come alongside you, who continue to come alongside you and support you. And I bless you with strong, rich friendships that are committed to you personally and who believe you're a part of something really good. And then finally, I bless you with a strong personal and corporate sense of God's presence during this time of transition. Thank you. And then Steve's going to come up and do what I was going to do.
Thought it was important we did as a team for people to for you to be able to agree to some things similar to what John Pattison did with his family. I struggled with what you should agree with in writing, and we had multiple conversations about it. Too religious, too this. So this is what I came up with. And if you agree, when I'm done, I will ask you to say, I agree. It'd be good if you agree, if you said it loud enough for everyone to hear. I just want to say one of the things I missed in my talk was to say, you are my pastor, and I like you. John, we recognize, we meaning all of us, the pastor's job is unique and difficult. We believe with you, you have been called by the one who loves us more than all others, Jesus, Lord of all, to serve in this role. If you agree, please say, I agree.
I agree.
That's great. One more. John, we commit to supporting you as pastor. We invite you to inform us of how we can be supportive. We won't let you go hungry. If you agree, say, I agree.
I agree.
Amen.
All right. We're almost there. I did want to say, Chris and Ann, we do really honor you guys. And Grandpa's here too, so Harry, hey. But it says in Paul the Apostle says to Timothy at some point, you know, I know where you've come from. I know who you are. From your infancy, you've known the Scriptures. And so thank you. You know, that's a great privilege to have John in my life, and I know that you guys have been a huge part. I want to read something, and then we're going to have John come up here, and the leaders from Oak Street Church are going to lay hands on him, and in a good way, and pray for him. I was talking to my daughter a couple days ago. I was with John, actually, in a coffee shop. John and I do that a lot. And I told my daughter some of the things that was happening, that I retired. I'm no longer on staff at the church and looking forward to retirement. And she said, well, Dad, you know, you've kind of always been halfway retired. And she, and then she said, you'll slide right into retirement. So that was encouraging to John. So Pastor Leah from Emmanuel Lutheran, who's a dear friend of mine and co-laborer in Christ and the gospel and the love of God in our community, I asked, she really wanted to be here, but she's traveling in a way. But I asked her to maybe share something. And I feel like what she shared, I just want to share with all of us and with you, John. And right before we pray for you, it's in a sense, I think, a charge, and more than that. Since I will be missing your ordination, she mentions that she wants to share really three words. And the first one is sacred. As an ordained pastor, I have been allowed in, invited in, and even sucked in to countless sacred spaces. The brokenness of relationships and lives, birth, death, discovery, bitterness, hope, darkness, and light. Oh, the places you will go, especially God places, and perhaps one of the most important jobs you will have is to point at where God shows up in the mundane and the ordinary, creating extraordinary among God's beloved here and now. The next word is delight-filled. God's people are God's people in all sorts of shapes, sizes, and messiness. They, we, ain't perfect, not yet anyway. But scattered amongst the struggling, broken pieces are beautiful potsherds. Expect beauty in the midst of it all. You will find it. In the dark, there will be light. That's the way our God does business. Wherever the Spirit chooses to blow, there is delight. And the last one, humbling. Today, in the rite of ordination, you step into a sacred ministry. You will find yourself in over your head. I think I spend most of my time in way over my head. Ah, but this is good, as I am constantly reminded that the work that I've been called into isn't about me. It's not about me being smart enough, strong enough, or even good enough. I am here doing this work because God has called me, led me, and empowered me for it. I think of myself as a manna pastor. For me, that is a reminder that God will provide for today, this moment, what is necessary for today, this moment. And tomorrow, God will show up and provide all over again. John, ordained ministry has been the most profound and the most meaningful chapter of my life. Sacred and delight-filled and humbling. May your journey be likewise. Pastor Leah. So, John, we'd like you to come up now, and the leadership team from Oak Street Church, which is Stephen, Mary, and Stephen, Christine, and Kathy, and myself. And I'd also like to have Otto and Joyce Bass come and join us. They are like retired generals at Oak Street Church, been here longer than me, longer than maybe any of us. been a huge part of our history. So, John, you can kind of be in the center of this circle of love. And we are going to gently lay hands. I think Otto wants to share something first.
I would like to. John, since I've known you, it has been a growing love in my heart for you. And I think God has given me the ability in the prophetic to paint a picture. I don't do very good on canvas, but I can paint a picture. And here's a picture that I feel God has showed me. You all know what a dripping faucet is? Anybody like a dripping faucet? But here's what you got to remember. A dripping faucet, there's nothing wrong with the drip that comes out. It just ain't enough of it. So as the Spirit is putting out those drops in you over the years, but there wasn't enough to drink for me to get a hold of something. But that dripping faucet stopped, and there's a stream of living water coming out of you. I've noticed it in the last year because I've known you ever since you've been here. And it's like that stream now brings you to a place of standing up for the Lord. You have a background of much Christian love in your life. I want to give you something. Stick that in your pocket and read it later. Okay. This is not the end of something. This is the beginning of something for you, John. It is the beginning of your rich life in Christ Jesus. You got the skipper in there, and his name is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you're in this boat, and now this stream is a river. And you're floating through this river, but there's a lot of boulders out there. And there's a lot of things that would stop and impede your journey. But don't stop. You can overcome it because he that's in you is greater than he that's in this world. And there's a power of the Holy Ghost that's in you that will tell you exactly how to trans that river, how to get to here, how to get to there. And at the end of that river, there's an ocean of people. And I call it the Joshua generation. That's you. I'm an old man. I never had a pastor with a ring in his nose. But I certainly love you, man. And I even love your ring now. Okay, good. So that's what I wanted to tell you, that the overcoming power of the Holy Ghost is coming to Silverton again. Been here before, but this is a big one coming. And the Joshua generation, the young people that are here, it's up to you now. And John, when you were talking about your family and how they were going to give him all of these things you named, I didn't notice you say money. But you know, we have a need for that too, don't we? Thank you, Jesus. That's enough.
Thanks, Otto. Well, I think we're going to pray now for John. Thank you, Lord. We lay hands on you, John, in the name of Jesus Christ, our beloved Lord and Savior, Redeemer, the one who says, come to me, all ye that are burdened or heavy laden, come to me. I receive you all. And John, you are a light bearer. And Kathy talked a few weeks ago about I'm not handing off in a relay of a race that's about work. It's more like the Olympic torch being passed because you're a light bearer. And sometimes the pastor here or wherever the pastor is kind of has to carry the light a little differently than the rest of the team. But in a unique way, you've been prepared to do that. And so we lay hands on you and proclaim and agree with this calling of pastor. We see it in you. We've been spoken it. We've spoken it tonight from all different corners of this community and beyond. And I know there are many praying with us that aren't even here tonight that agree and see this and are thankful. So we say thank you, Lord, for John. Bless him abundantly. In your name we pray. Amen. Yeah, can you hear it? Yeah, so like I said earlier, some of you weren't here, though, that if you have something you want to speak to John, something maybe you feel inspired to give him, give it to him, you know, later or tonight if you write it down, but don't forget about it. Sometimes that, you know, that's a way that we're spoken to and encouraged. So if you have those words, you know, we don't have time to hear from everyone. John requested, though, that you would write that down and give it to him later. So we're done with the formal part, but there's going to be food and refreshments, and I know it's a tight space, but it's a sacred space, so enjoy. Thanks for coming. Good.